I'm not like them, but I can pretend. I think I'm dumb, maybe just happy. I think I'm dumb. All right. Hey, everyone. We're back.
What's up?
You'll hear this, I guess, a week after we put a new episode up, but we've been gone for a little bit, but we're excited to be back.
Hiatus.
So, yeah, two, three week hiatus. I was in Switzerland, so
doing your classic trademark cue on the ground investigative reporting.
Definitely. But we have a special guest. We have At Truth Enjoyer with us, longtime friend. Hello, Cassandra.
Hello. It's an honor to be back. I love recording with you guys. You are my second podcast ever. And I think this is what, my fifth appearance now?
Yes.
Something like that.
You've been on many, many, many times. You're close to Full House.
Something like that.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're honored because, I was like, she hasn't been doing pods in a minute, but we got her. So
I was trying to do better OPSEC and stop podcasting, but I can't resist. When I get an invite from the Thoughts and Prayers boys, I'm here.
Well, you had to come back on after this latest craziness.
It's true. Yes, I feel like I fell off. Like, I used to post so much harder, and all I did was post one innocuous meme, and I had fucking Hanania in my quote tweets, so I had to come back.
It was a pretty amazing comeback to shit posting, if I must say so myself, as a long time shit poster. It was a good it was a good roar back. But I guess let's just get right into it. Like, what was the original tweet? Because I guess we should pull it up. What did
I think we can provide some context here.
Yeah, we have to give some context because many people will not.
Yeah. Know. So I just went on on Bear Bactrian, Basil's podcast with Pool House, and we kind of did at a high overview level kind of take on this whole thing, which I highly recommend everyone check out.
Has that come out? I haven't heard it yet.
It came out today, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Listening to it tomorrow.
And so we kind of talked about it more from the media literacy level and just kind of trying to explain what was happening as far as basically over the past few weeks, there was this weird thing where COVID was kind of back in the discourse. And then we have not only the shit libs coming out as they always have to be bro, we never had lockdowns. The vaccine is safe and effective, blah, blah, blah. But we also had this weird segment of the sort of dissident right wing, quote unquote, blah, 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 Twitter coming out and kind of having these weird bro, the vax really wasn't that bad kind of takes as well, and
we can name them. I don't care. I mean, they're friends of ours, some of them. RFH and people like that.
Rad Femme Hitler.
I think she knows that we didn't like that take. That was, and there was kind of an in unison, the vax was no big deal, what is everyone talking? There was sort of a weird, I don't always want to be a conspiracy theorist, all these people planned it, but there definitely was sort of an in unison kind of moment of everyone's overreacting. That was the vibe.
Yes. Yeah. And it came out on the heel, and this is what Cassandra caught heat for, was it, there was this study that came out that was released in this classic kind of counter narrative or fake news type manner where, the headline is true, where the study said that the vaccine, people who got the vaccine had a higher risk of stroke and heart attack and myocarditis and all that kind of stuff. That's what the headline of the article was. That's what the study said. It's true. But then, it kind of went out on these accounts that have this little sort of almost like that fake news aesthetic, like Breitbart or something, where everything's like in all caps and like looks like it was, you know, created in some weird like fake news dungeon or something. But so then when you actually click on the article or whatever that was going around, the subhead of the article is like, but doesn't increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, myocarditis as much as COVID itself does. So then it was like almost like this built in kind of fact check on the fake news, so that it was like people, it gave like all the shit libs and all these people ammo to be like, bro, did you even read the article and whatever, you know, like, so it's kind of like that classic thing where it's like, like just optimized for like rage bait and like flame wars on Twitter and stuff. And so that was going, but I guess even the Radfem Hitler had been kind of tweeting her like weird vaccine hedging takes. Like that pivot started actually, I guess, a couple of weeks before this article was making.
Yeah, lots of people have been doing it. It's yeah. Like, I mean, people that we like are both friends with and both deeply dislike, but there's been lots of like people who are still talking about the vax is cringe. That's been going on for a while. Both people that we consider friends and people that we consider enemies have been saying that for a minute now.
Yeah. And stuff like, you know, okay, like everyone got the vax and like they didn't all drop dead. Can we just like let this go or whatever? And it's like, even that is like, that was like a counter narrative messaging as well to make all the anti-vax people, like the dumb anti-vax people, look retarded for thinking that everybody who got the vax was going to drop dead, where it's like that was like most the vast majority of people who didn't get vaccinated knew that it wasn't going to literally like kill everyone, you know. But so then it's like that disingenuous framing of the anti-vax position. Then, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's like really intentional hyperbole that like is supposed to make it look like that's what we were all saying and therefore like debunk all of our opinions. And it's like, as you said, like that's not actually what most people were critiquing when they were talking about the vax. A lot of the people who have critiqued the vax got the vax and like are critiquing like, you know, the broader panopticon of it all, like the social control measures of it all. And also just the fact that it's like, any medical treatment that is given, especially an experimental medical treatment that doesn't have like longitudinal studies or whatever, that's given at mass scale, it's really weird if you can't critique it. And we couldn't critique it at the time because of like the mass censorship regime around doing so. And now we can't like today because it's cringe. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah, and like the thing I think is most disingenuous about it is even if the vax, let's just say that they injected us with, I don't know, pure alpine water or something, like just a tiny bit of like pure alpine water, like truly harmless. I don't know. I don't even know if that would be harmless, but I'm just trying to think of a harmless substance. Like it's still wrong to force people to inject something they don't want injected into them. You know, like it doesn't matter if it's even just a neutral thing. It's like, right. You know,
to
like
give them this impossible choice where it's not truly consensual, because it's like, oh, like, cause that's another thing. Like they're like, well, you chose to get the vax or whatever, but it's like, is it really a choice when like the choice was between injecting this substance, whether it's going to kill you or not, versus losing your livelihood, your ability to participate in society? Like, it's really weird to me that this is not something that we're allowed to discuss anymore, or we were never allowed to discuss it like publicly to begin with, but it was something that we were once allowed to discuss in quote unquote like dissident spaces. And it's just really telling to me that now like the major dissidents, especially the face accounts like Hanania, but also like the big quote unquote dissident accounts or accounts that don't consider themselves dissident anymore but built their brand off of that originally and then pivoted, and they're the ones who are like the most vocal about being like, this is cringe, bro. to me, like, I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy or that they're all in lockstep because they got some sort of memo, but it's just telling to me that that's like the social vibe now. It's like, okay, so we can't talk about it then. We can't talk about it now. When are we going to talk about it? Like 50 years in the future, like the JFK shit, where it's like, you know, now like conspiracy leftists, like they'll talk about JFK, but they're not going to talk about things that are happening right now. It's interesting.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's I think part of this whole thing that seems to be happening in the broader culture of, I think what you're going to start seeing now, basically amongst normies, to, I mean, it's basically already happened, where they're just going to basically act like nothing weird happened at all. Just almost forget about COVID, that they locked themselves in their houses for over a year. You know, like all the school closures, the vaccine passports, where you had to show your fucking card to get into a restaurant or a bar, anywhere, a gym, and people just have already forgotten that. And then to see these like big, yeah, accounts coming in who built their brand on dissident, and like RFH, like she didn't get that, she didn't take the vaccine, so it's like she must have had some reason that she felt was legitimate to make that decision. So then to come back and now be like, yo, everybody just chill, you know, like it wasn't really a chill situation.
It's also not the first time that the U.S. has attempted to mandate a vax, and it's gone really poorly. So it's like, how many times are we going to keep making this mistake?
Yeah,
like,
and it gets wiped from the culture. But it, right, happened. It happened in the 70s, right. Literally with some fucking flu or whatever. And my parents were alive during that time. I think something like 25% of the total population took the vaccine, and it got recalled because it was a massive disaster. I have never heard my parents one time mention that whole thing, even with COVID coming up and the vaccine again. That whole thing has just like been wiped.
It's, yeah, been, it got memory hold for sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think like I'm so out of the loop with all this COVID stuff. Like I was deep down the rabbit hole, like, you know, back in 2020, 2021 and 2022, stuff like that. And it's been a while, but I remember seeing at the time that they wanted to do it with swine flu back in like, when was that? Like 2009, I think, is when they wanted to do it. Yeah. But that vaccine also was like not successful or had too many risks or something. I can't remember the details, but that's like what prevented them from doing it. And it's really interesting that, you know, with the COVID vax, it also had a lot of risks. It had a lot of people reporting side effects. But now that everything is so deeply entrenched in like, you know, the internet and the 24/7 news cycle, and then the censorship that you can do with all of that, which you could not do before, because before it was like mostly people talking amongst themselves. You know, not everyone had the internet in their pocket 24/7 back then. And now they do, but that, you know, that also gives the establishment a much broader level of social control than they once had. And it was just really interesting to me the way that they very quickly shut down any mention of side effects or reports to, you know, VAERS or whatever it's called, by basically being like, well, that's misinformation. Like, just don't even pay attention to it. And that's not saying that the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were
going to kill everyone or. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. I feel like my internet's slow. So if I'm talking over anyone, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're fine.
No, I was just going to say like, yeah, the censorship, I think that too is for, I mean, most people who listen to the show probably are online, but like for people who weren't, I think they don't understand how extreme the censorship was at that time. Like if you said anything about the vaccine that wasn't like literally go out and get vaccinated right now, you would just get banned. I mean,
well, there was a brief, I just want to say quickly, there was a brief window where even normie libs were like, I don't want to be the first in line to get the vaccine.
But that's because it was the Trump vaccine. It was when Trump was in power, and it was very interesting.
I think it's going to be a very skeptical American public about taking the vaccine, and they should be.
We can't trust the president and take his word and take a vaccine that might cause harm to us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
Let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot?
We will need to have access to the vaccine results so we can make our independent assessment to make sure that Donald Trump's fingerprints are not on it.
Is the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion. And I wouldn't recommend to New Yorkers based on the federal government's opinion.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency.
Would you trust that vaccine?
There's very little that we can trust that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
We cannot take for granted this process will be free of political influence.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
You're going to say to the American people now, here's a vaccine. It was new. It was done quickly. But trust this federal administration and their health administration that it's safe.
I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump.
Hey, how confident are you in the approval process of the FDA right now?
How confident am I? I'm not that confident.
Yes, I would be hesitant, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
You're going to need someone other than this FDA and this CDC saying it's safe.
That the vaccine, and I think this was twofold, like the vaccine, the original Pfizer study that came out being like the vaccine is 95% effective against COVID or whatever they were claiming, which was incredibly disingenuous to begin
against
with.
Against transmission. Yeah, it was 95% effective against transmission.
Yeah, which was not true. But, and that was like, what was it? Like they were like, it's not like the absolute risk level. It was like the relative risk level and it was all just manipulated data, but that came out, like, I want to say like days after the election in 2020. And like the whole point of that, I think, was twofold. One, to not make like, you know, to not give Trump any ammunition to be like, oh, Project Warp Speed was successful. And B, to kind of distance the vaccine from Trump in general. So then the libs could get on board and be like, oh, yeah, well, now it's Biden's vaccine. Like, it was very telling that like Kamala Harris and all of these people, when Trump was still in power, were like, I'm never going to take the Trump vaccine. And then it was like minutes later, they were all on board with the vaccine because now Trump's not in power. Like, it was a very politicized
thing. I'm going to insert that clip there. Of course, there's all these like news clips, like compilations that they have out there of like, you can hear every politician, Democrat politician, Kamala Harris, Biden, like everybody, even saying like, no, I'm not taking a Trump vaccine, you know? And then like, then it's like literally a matter of weeks later, as soon as Biden's elected, they're like, you need to go out there and get vaxxed, you know?
Yeah, and it's the same vaccine. So like, whether you call it the Trump vaccine or the Biden vaccine, it's the same fucking vaccine.
Yeah. Right. One quick thing. I think a lot of the dissident right or whatever ignores that Trump did kind of religiously pushed the vaccine. I think that's worth mentioning.
And still does. He has never gone back on that.
Mm-hmm. No, he's never gone back on that. The whole myth that Trump was telling people not to get vaccinated was false. He told people, whether he did or not, probably not, that him and Melania got vaccinated before they left the White House. And they, he's continued to push the vaccine for 4 years now. So I think that's worth saying. I just wanted to get quickly back to your tweet, because you just tweeted something really innocuous. You said, mentioning even the slightest possibility of this to friends in 2021, and it's a picture of like the teen girls all holding red Solo cups looking disgustingly at you. So, like, it's a pretty like innocuous tweet.
You like quote tweeted that article or whatever that was like, study shows increased risk of myocarditis and shit from the vax. And then, yeah, you had that photo of like the party, the like people at the party looking at you like you're a loser.
Yeah, like and looking at you like you have three heads. Yeah. And honestly, when I tweeted that, first of all, I did not expect it to go viral the way that it did. I thought that this was like a passe thing that like, I was like, this will be funny, but like, it's probably going to get just like, you know, my followers will like it or whatever. But like, I didn't realize it was going to break containment. But I, even when I tweeted that, like I did know that there was a possibility that people would be like, oh my God, you're a fake news believer. Because like the account that I quote tweeted it from, I don't even know what account it was, like Leading Report or something. Like I don't follow them. I don't know who they are. Like it just came up on my feed, but it was obvious to me that they were some like right wing sort of like fear mongering type publication, but I still knew. Not because they tweeted it, but because I have been actually following this shit and down this rabbit hole for, you know, 3-4 years now that, you know, this is accurate. It doesn't really matter who tweeted it, but also even irrespective of its accuracy or not, it's just a funny tweet. Like it's like the whole point was kind of like, if you said anything about this back then, people would look at you like you had 3 heads. And now you can kind of say it and they won't look at you that way because like the discourse has shifted. That was the point of the tweet. So I tweeted it, went super viral, got like 70,000 likes or something. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, which is also crazy in and of itself because that would have never been allowed to happen in 2021, which is kind of the point. You know, in 2021, I would have been like suspended from Twitter for even suggesting something like that. But I wasn't even suggesting anything. I was literally just saying, if you made a comment like this in 2021, people would look at you like you're crazy. And lo and behold, I got not only a ton of shit libs or whatever coming after me, but, you know, these alleged dissidents like Hanania, who, by the way, like a pussy ass bitch screenshotted it instead of quote tweeted it. I'm like, fucking quote tweet me next time, you pussy. But I can't remember exactly what he said. If you could pull it up, that would be great because my internet is so slow. I'm afraid to open Twitter right now and like ruin the podcast. But it was just really interesting.
Well, you got it from both sides. So you had the one on the one hand, like representing the shit libs. You had that the Steakums guy.
Yes.
Who. Oh, I guess he also screenshotted you instead of quote tweeting you. But it was like, it was the exact same thing as like what we're talking about with the Radfem Hitler stuff. It was like, you got it, your account for whatever reason, when it broke containment like that, it was like, they needed a big account from both sides to come out and like shut you down. Like that's what happened. You know, I guess you can't prove there was a memo that went out or something, but like that is in fact how it played out.
And what was interesting to me was like, because I had quote tweeted this like ostensibly like fake news fear-mongering type of account, like Hanania, for example, was one of the people who did this, and he has, you know, like 70,000 followers or something or more. I don't
90
know.
He has 90.
Yeah, but like, you know, so he has this huge platform and basically like straight up said, I think it wasn't in the original tweet, but in the reply that he like replied to himself, like in the thread, like basically saying that like, oh, like, you know, people like me will just believe any fake news headline and run with it. And it's just like, do you not understand how Twitter works? Do you really? Because I have a tweet about this like from way back when, and I don't have it handy, but it's like, you know, that meme that's like, from some anime, and it's a guy holding up like a butterfly and being like, is this, and it's like not a butterfly. And I made a meme that was like, you know, something like, one innocuous shit post, is this a comprehensive political manifesto? And like, that is what happens with shit like this. Like, this guy sees my one meme and thinks that my entire political understanding, my entire understanding of COVID and the vaccine was based off of that one headline. Like, do you really think that my opinion, not only was this just a shit post, but if I do have an opinion on it, which I do, like, do you really think that it just came from seeing one headline from like a Breitbart analog? Come on, man. Like, it's just so intentionally disingenuous. And I think that that's what's most telling about all of that. They want to position anyone who disagrees with them as being just kind of like a fake news believer who's been manipulated by the right wing fake news media. And it's like, that's just simply not the case. I can provide plenty of receipts on all of my opinions about COVID and the vax that I've been talking about for years, but you're just going to say that I got propagandized by a viral fake news tweet. So go off, I guess.
I think he actually, ironically enough, you ratioed him, and I think he deleted it. I cannot find it for the life of me what he said against you at this point.
Okay, I'm going to open it on my phone and see if I can do that. I know that the Steakums guy did delete it, and he also had like 20 times my following, and I'm just like, you guys are pathetic. Did. Yeah, he deleted it. I think it was like once everyone started, you know, like finding the receipts of all the PPP loans that he took is when he deleted it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was the thing, even about this fake news shit, that was like the angle they tried to hit you with. I mean, the weird thing is that study didn't even, it wasn't anything that was new, really. It, you know, at least if you had been following any of the vaccine stuff, like everyone knew that it gives you strokes and heart attacks and myocarditis and stuff.
I did find Hanani's tweet, tons by of the way.
Studies showing.
Yes.
You did.
Sorry, not to interrupt, but I found it. So he screenshotted me and said, I also like to form all my opinions based on internet misinformation and then consider myself vindicated by fake news accounts. And then he said, they found an observational study with literally 100 to 200 cases out of 100 million. These anti-vaxxers know nothing and continue to pollute their discourse with misinformation. But yeah, I ratioed him despite having like 1/20th of his following, so I'm not too worried.
Yeah. What did you say when you clapped back or whatever?
So I did. The interesting thing was, like, he's obviously this big account that's astroturfed and shoved into everyone's feed. Like, I don't follow him, but I didn't see it until like almost 24 hours later. But I just said, I hope you get your next booster ASAP because I was being a bitch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that's when you ratioed. Yeah.
And yeah, like, I'm not saying that the next booster is going to kill you. That was just a rhetorical device.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, these people. But yeah, how can you interpret that as anything but a smear? You know, like what he's saying about you. What did he say? Can you read his tweet again?
Yeah. He said, "I also like to form all my opinions based on internet misinformation and all then my consider opinions. Myself vindicated by fake news accounts." And that's the fucking thing. I knew when I tweeted that tweet that people would say that I consider myself vindicated by fake news accounts in one way or the other. But I was literally just doing it as a meme. You know, if I was doing this as like an actual manifesto of what I believe about COVID and the vaccine, I would have written it that way. I have many of those tweets. Go back through the archive. This was literally just a meme. And of course, all these people pretend, and this is what happens every time, they pretend that you're not self-aware. They pretend that you're not doing a bit. And, you know, I'm obviously not doing a bit to some extent. Like, yeah, people in 2021 did look at you like you had three heads if you said anything bad about the vaccine. But it's also like, you know, it's just a funny tweet. I'm not putting my entire manifesto about what I think about COVID into 280 characters. Like, I'm literally just doing a bit. And then they latch onto that and they're like, yeah, this is all you believe. And it's all misinformation. It's very intentional.
Yes. And like what? Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. Like what even is the misinformation in this case? Like that it was just quoting a study that found that was actually true. Like it's just very bizarre.
Yeah, it's that it came from an account that seems misinformation-y. And then also, in addition to that, you know, like his follow-up tweet was like, well, they only found 100 to 200 cases of this. Okay, but that still exists. That's still a thing. You know, like it doesn't matter that it was only, quote unquote, a small percentage of people. Regardless of that, none of these people who were given the vaccine in 2021 or onwards had informed consent. They were not told that there was even that minute risk of these side effects. And it really does not matter, in my opinion, that you can also have those risks from COVID, A, because none of this was disclosed anyway, and B, because the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID. So you could take the vaccine, have a whatever small quote unquote chance of getting those side effects, and you could also still get COVID and get those side effects from COVID. So the entire thing is disingenuous and built on a lack of consent, a lack of informed consent to the population who were essentially forced into getting this, whether that was through mass media propaganda or through literal mandates that told them that they could not participate in society without getting it. So I think that that's important to talk about. And if you style yourself like Hanania does as sort of a right-wing dissident, someone who's supposedly, you know, critiquing the establishment in some ways, which he doesn't, he sucks the dick of the establishment, but like these other accounts and stuff, it's just really weird to me that you're going to counter signal all of this huge apparatus around the COVID vaccine in this way, just by being like, oh, well, it was only a small amount of people. And anyway, you anti-vaxxers suck. Like, this was a medical treatment that was forced on the population in an unprecedented way. And like, it's weird if we're not allowed to talk about that.
Yes. And in a literally fraudulent way. I mean, you can go down any number of things. But I think the point that you made is very crucial here, where people talk about it like, okay, yeah, sure, the vax increases your risk of myocarditis and blah, blah, blah. But so does getting COVID. But if the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, it's not doing anything but giving you an additional layer of risk, because right, you will get the vaccine. You're not choosing between getting the vaccine and getting COVID. You're choosing between getting COVID or getting the vaccine and getting COVID.
Right. And okay, so like they will say, like, you know, well, the vaccine makes COVID less severe, or, you know, if COVID's less severe, then you'll be less likely to get myocarditis from COVID. Okay. That may or may not be true. I personally don't think it's true, but it may or may not be true. And I'll give that, you know, uncertainty to them. It, you know, that's what they want to believe. Sure, maybe, but that's not what the vaccine was tested for. There were no studies done for that. So anything that they're saying that is like to that effect, that's like, okay, well, it reduces like the intensity of COVID and therefore must reduce the risk of myocarditis. Well, that's not what was studied. So there's actually no proof of that. And it's really ironic that, like, back in the day, like when the vaccine first came out and people were sounding the alarm on all of this stuff, their immediate go-to to shut people down was like, there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence. There's no study. You know, it's all just hearsay. Well, okay. Then that's the same thing that what you're doing, because there actually is no evidence of any of this. And any evidence that they cite, like hospital data, this, that, and the other, is all completely confounded at this point by so many factors. And then on top of that, the fact that they unblinded the vaccine study after, what was it, 60 days, 90 days, a very short amount of time. It was not a longitudinal study. Everyone in the study was given the vaccine before they had the chance to see any long-term side effects. The entire population, yeah. I mean, not everyone, but, you know, like a vast majority of the population has been vaccinated. A vast majority of the population has had COVID at this point. There is no way to really distill this data down and isolate any variables. But it's just very interesting the way that they are so confident in their own assertions about all of this. And everything else is fake news. So.
Yes. And then, yeah. And then, I mean, yeah, like, yeah. So then so soon as you get a huge percentage of the population vaccinated, then you start seeing all these weird ads for like child myocarditis and stroke and children dying suddenly in their sleep and all, you know, just it's, yeah. So.
But and that's, yeah, always happened, like, allegedly.
Right, right. It's crazy. It's really horrible. And then, so even going back to, like you said, like the original rollout of the vaccine was a fraud. Like, to this day, similar to you, I've been out of the game here for a little bit because the lay of the land has kind of settled to a degree. But as far as I'm aware, the only clinical trial data that we have related to the vaccine that's been released is the Pfizer one. Mm-hmm. And that was only released as a result of a FOIA lawsuit. And then even with that, the Pfizer was asking for it to be released in like 75 years or something like that. And then eventually the judge decided that that was bullshit and they had to release like a certain amount of pages every 6 months or something like that.
Right. And it like in to the point where like it was released so slowly and it's still not fully released and it kept getting released at times where people wouldn't even pay attention to it. Like the first day that like Russia invaded Ukraine was like the first document dropped. Like it's
That I forgot about that. That's crazy. But yeah,
no, it was like February 22nd, 2022.
And then what you when you do look at what's been released, it shows you that everything they said about it when they were trying to sell it to the public, force it on everyone, was total bullshit. Going back to the original claim was 95. I think they were saying basically 95% effective, 94% effective, in that 90 plus percent range.
That's what they were saying.
And yeah, and that quickly became clear that that was not true. And they tried to blame it on variants and like the people who didn't get vaxxed creating new variants or whatever. It doesn't make any sense. And even the
right. They, that was the big thing, is that the people who didn't get vaxxed made the vaccine less effective.
Right. Yeah, but
which doesn't make sense.
No, I mean, So the 95% thing was bullshit. The clinical endpoint in this clinical trials didn't even test for transmission. So all they did was they had 22,000 people in each group. And the unvaccinated group had 100 some cases. And out of 22,000, the vaccinated group had less, was like, you know, 5 or 10 COVID cases. And that was the basis of that 95%, you know, prevention figure, because it was 95% less people got COVID than the vaccinated group. However, what that ignores is that in both groups, the vast majority, well over 95% of the, the total 22,000 in each group, didn't get COVID either way, right? So it was like the amount of protection that you're actually adding, it makes it seem like it's 95%, but you're talking about like 1% got COVID in the unvaccinated group and, you know, 0.1% got COVID in the vaccinated group.
Right. It was the whole relative risk level versus the absolute risk level. And like the absolute risk level that was like being unvaccinated compared to being vaccinated was like 0.08% or something like that. Like something so negligible. And also just not taking into account at all the different levels of severity of COVID on different age groups or people who didn't have pre-existing conditions or things like that. None of that was taken into account. It acted like COVID was this monolith that it's going to kill you or not, and like therefore you have to take the vaccine. But the way that it was like positioned in the media was exactly as you're saying, that it's 95% effective against transmission, which is just absolutely not the case. But that's how it was positioned. Like, I remember seeing articles in like March 2021 and like kind of around that time when like it started rolling out to like our age groups and stuff. You know, like they first started giving it to elderly people and then they eventually, like a couple months later, were rolling it out to everyone. And all of the articles.
The high risk people, which was a huge definition that included like depression and anxiety.
But yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, like once they started rolling it out to everyone, they were still on that tip. Like they were still saying, like, you know, it is 95% effective. If you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. And it's so telling that like the way that people have been reprogrammed and gaslit to just completely forget that that was the narrative. Like I had so many people on my tweet telling me, despite the fact that my tweet wasn't even about this, mind you, but being like, well, no one said that you weren't going to get COVID if you get the vaccine. They never said that. It was all just supposed to reduce side effects. And it's like, well, no, they did say that. Like, they literally said that. That was the whole basis of mandates.
In 2021, we should be able to manufacture a lot of vaccines. And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end. We're vaccinating so very fast. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Essentially, vaccines block you from getting and giving the virus.
Fully vaccinated people are at a very, very low risk of getting COVID-19. Therefore, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person. I think given the country as a whole, the fact that we have now about 50% of adults fully vaccinated and about 62% of adults having received at least one dose, as a nation, I feel fairly certain you're not going to see the kind of surges we've seen in the past.
That was the whole point of mandates. Yeah. Why else would there be mandates that say you cannot enter an establishment, you cannot go into your workplace? And by the way, I lost my job, fully remote job, because I wasn't vaccinated. So like this is nothing to do with transmission, and it's clearly just a political compliance test. But let's not even get into that right now. Like, even if the entire basis, the entire basis of mandates was clearly, if you come into our establishment and you have COVID, that's probably because you're unvaccinated, which also, I don't understand, because if an unvaccinated person, who, by the way, does not automatically have COVID because they're unvaccinated, which is really weird that they acted like it was. But okay, so every unvaccinated
you
person.
You couldn't even use a negative test as entry, you had to have the vaccine. It made no sense.
Well, that's the thing that
gets me. You could be fully COVID positive as long as you're vaccinated, you could get into the bar.
Well, they were also doing, do you remember when they would wipe that thing over your head to test your temperature? I remember a few times having that happen to me. They would do the temp, which who knows how many people's heads that touch before it touched mine. But they would my temperature would be 87 and they'd be go in. I'm my body temperature is not 87.
I should be dead, right?
Yeah. Are you dead? What's going on? But yeah, no, that was always really bizarre to me too. So I was in the UK in 2021, when all of this was happening. And yeah, it was the same thing. The UK had vaccine passports, not as broadly as the US did. They had their own intense panopticon tracing system, which maybe I'll go into. But their vaccine passports, they were threatening to do it for everything, but then Omicron kind of ruined that. But before that, they did enact it for larger venues, so theaters and music venues and stuff like that. And at the time, you could either have a negative test, a COVID vaccine, so a vaccine passport, or at one point, natural immunity, which was very interesting because the US did not have that. And so I had COVID in July 2021. And so I, reported that to their track and trace program because they had this intense monitoring for that. And therefore, I got a COVID passport because I had had COVID. So at one point, they did acknowledge that natural immunity worked. And natural immunity is better than the vaccine because the vaccine doesn't give you immunity. And natural immunity does, at least to some extent, for at least 6 months. I mean, for me, I never got COVID again, knock on wood. But anyway, so I was able to get into like music venues and stuff with my natural immunity vaccine passport. And, but it was just so funny to me that, you know, natural immunity, sure. I don't think you should have to take a COVID test, just saying. But if we're going to take this thing to its logical conclusion, natural immunity and COVID vaccine shouldn't even really count. But COVID vaccine should be the bottom of the barrel out of all of those things. And the only thing, if you're going to do this, which I don't think that you should, but if you are, realistically and logically, the only thing that should count is a negative COVID test, because it does not matter how compliant you are or how recently you had COVID. All that matters is, do you have COVID or not? And that was the weird thing. Like, the weird thing was, you can get into a venue, as you said, A, even if you have active COVID, but as long as you prove your compliance, you can get in. You know, and that just proves that the whole thing was not about public health. It was about compliance. They knew when they set that up, they knew that you could still have COVID even if you had the vaccine. So if they really, really, really thought that COVID was like, you know, this deadly pandemic and that like no one should get exposed to it, they would not let you in without a negative COVID test. The reason that they didn't was because it was not about public health. It was about compliance.
I mean, I was just thinking about this, and it's funny that we were just talking about how libs like to dunk on the anti-vaxxers by being like, all the people who got vaxxed didn't drop dead. But on the flip side of that is that when they were rolling out the vaccine, they were actually making it seem like if you didn't get vaxxed, you were going to die if you got COVID. Yep. And like the whole Biden, like winner of severe illness and death thing for the unvaccinated.
For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winner of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death, period.
And so it's like, okay, yeah, all the unvaccinated didn't drop dead either, you know?
I have a question for you guys. I'm not skeptical at all that the vax was like a horrific overstep of the government, but like, you know, how would you answer, like, why did they want everyone to get the vax? If it wasn't to kill everyone, you know, was it just a purity test? Was it just a political purity test? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
think, or, yes. Like, I personally think that it was mostly a political purity test. I really do. I think that it was like their way of just kind of like, this was their first opportunity to really test something like that at mass scale. And so I think that that was part of it. I think that part of it was because they didn't realize that like Omicron was going to disrupt it to the extent that it did, where it kind of like blew the whole thing open and made people realize that like, you know, the vaccine's not actually really working. And like, what's the point of these mandates? Like, you know, a lot of people did turn after that, even if they didn't go full blown like anti-vax, like they were kind of like, these mandates are silly. So I think that like part of it was that, part of it was them like trying to usher in, you know, just kind of like a more surveillance state type thing where like they can know where you are at all times, yeah, and that sort of thing. And then I think like my conspiratorial like anti-pharma impulse, it's not that pharma wouldn't want everyone to drop dead. What they want is to create permanent pharmaceutical patients. So A, if they're creating this condition where everyone feels or believes that they need to get this vaccine multiple times a year in order to not die or to stay healthy, then that creates a permanent, you know, money-making system for them. In addition to that, if the vaccine creates side effects that then need to be treated pharmaceutically, then that's more money for them. That's a little bit more conspiratorial, but like that could be part of it. So I feel like it's like, you know, there's so many different things. I don't think that it's just like one top-down kind of cabal level conspiracy. but it's all of these little factors that kind of like go together to this upward like wealth transfer slash, you know, control system.
It's like pharma. It's like a pharma. It's like maybe as this isn't innocuous. This is still bad, but it's maybe a pharma executive shrugging and saying, well, even if it doesn't do anything, at least we'll get people paying, you know, or we'll get the government to pay.
Well, especially if it gets
to give
on
this
the
vaccine once a year to the entire world.
Right. Like, especially if it gets on the child vaccine schedule, which it did. So like, you know, kids were being made to get this, to go to school or college. And so like by doing that, it kind of like forces it on people in a much broader sense, even more than just emotionally manipulating them that they're going to die if they don't have it. Like, it's like, well, now you like, you know, regardless of like mandates and stuff, like if it gets on the child vaccine schedule, then like parents end up having to do it for their kids. But also I just wanted to say quickly, sorry to derail a little bit, but I found a screenshot of like a previous tweet because yeah, like I remember there was like a study back in the day, like during all of this, where like 50% of Democrats or something thought that like they would die if they got COVID. Like they thought that they had it wasn't 50% of Democrats. It was like, it might've been more than that, but they thought that they had a 50% chance of dying if they got COVID, when really like it was like a less than 1% chance. But they literally like, you know, and that's the fault of the media. Like that's the fault of all this propaganda about how deadly COVID actually was. But anyway, I remember, so there was this tweet by this woman, Steph Haberman. I don't know who she is, but anyway, she said, "The anti-vax crowd's favorite talking point these days. Why are vaxxed and boosted people getting COVID multiple times? Is such a spectacular self-own. They're getting it multiple times because they're not dying the first time, my dudes." That means it's working. And it's like, I love the "my dudes." Like that's like the biggest like dirtbag leftist thing ever. But I quote tweeted it. And this isn't even the best tweet ever. I'm not quoting myself for that reason, but just because I'll forget what I even said and whatever. So what I said was 99% of people weren't going to die the first time with or without the injection, but by all means, keep telling yourself that having your immune system repeatedly hit by the same virus you're already vaxxed for over and over means that it's working. But I think that like all of that just showcases that disparity. Like these people have literally been conditioned into believing that if they get COVID, they're going to die. It's okay if they get COVID multiple times after the vaccine, because as long as they're not dead or on a ventilator or whatever. Don't even get me started on how all the ventilator stuff was a psyop and they forced people onto ventilators instead of doing normal treatments that wouldn't kill them because they wanted to make COVID seem scarier so they could force people to do lockdowns and then later force people to get vaccinated to get out of lockdown. But, you know, that's a whole other tangent.
Yeah, no, I mean, we need to at some point do like a deep dive on the whole COVID thing, because yes, that's an excellent point. And they only did that in New York and a couple of other places where they put everyone on the vents and gave them remdesivir and it gave them multi-system organ failure and basically killed everyone. The hospitals, all because they passed this crazy law, the CARES Act or whatever, hospitals got paid an insane amount of money anytime someone who had COVID died. So they wrote everything up as a COVID death, even if it wasn't caused by COVID, even if it was caused by the ventilator or whatever.
Yep.
So anyways. Yeah, but I wanted to hit your question, Q, about the point of the vax. And I think Cassandra did get the key things, but I think there are layers. So definitely, yes, compliance, political compliance test for sure. Another level, cash grab straight up for sure. Like they just printed all this money from the government and gave it to the pharma companies. And then, you know, all the libs can be like, dude, it's free. Like it's fucking free. Can't you take this shit? And it's like, well, no, it's actually not free. It just, you paid for it indirectly via like insane amounts of inflation. But the pharma companies got their money for sure.
Right, that's the thing, like this weird like idea that the pharma companies did this out of altruism. Like no, they didn't. They got paid.
They got paid a shitload, yeah. Record profits. And even the R&D was funded by the government too. So they didn't even have to pay for that aspect of it. So it was just like pure profit basically. And then on the other hand, you have the digital ID aspect of it, which I think was like the biggest failure. The thing they kind of like really got pretty close to like implementing, but then it ultimately failed after the trucker thing, which is like they wanted to implement some kind of system where like you have a little swipey on your phone that's connected to your individual identity that you will check in and check out at everywhere you go.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Absolutely this. This mm-hmm. is what they wanted. They did not succeed, but that's what they wanted. That was the goal.
Yes, and that you could have your privileges revoked, sent from some central database if you're, in this case, not up to date on your shots, but it could be applied to all kinds of things if you're behind on your rent or if you whatever, you know, you're tweeting too much about war, Israel and war crimes or whatever, you know, like it could be applied to any number of things once they have that infrastructure in place.
And they started to get that infrastructure in place. Like it didn't work, but they started to get the ball rolling enough on this and they saw that people complied. So like this is coming back. It doesn't matter if it's for a pandemic or something else, whether it's tied to universal basic income or anything like that. Like they will utilize this. In the UK, for example, when I was there, they did not have vaccine passports for everywhere. Like I said, they were threatening to do that. And then Omicron and then, you know, the trucker strike and kind of everything else caused all of their COVID restrictions to kind of fall apart by early 2022. That was around the time that they had been threatening all of this. But for all of 2021 in the UK, it was actually a lot more advanced than the US's surveillance system with COVID. And I think that's for a lot of reasons. And I've talked about this before on other pods, including on KB's pod, because obviously like he's British. So like, you know, he had lived through that too. But one thing that was like very interesting to me was, so in the UK, they had this digital program called Track and Trace, which essentially meant that you had to sign up for an app on your phone called the NHS app, which is, again, like this, a whole other rabbit hole, but like just the way that like socialized healthcare, like everyone, all like leftists or normies would be like, oh, socialized healthcare, it's so great. Like, you know, because obviously the US health system is predatory and horrible. So, oh, socialized healthcare through your government and it's free. I just want free healthcare, honey, or whatever Dasha said back in the day. You know, like it all sounds great. But then the second that, you know, you get this kind of totalitarian, authoritarian impulse that ties into healthcare, that's when it gets really tricky. So in the UK, you had to get this NHS app and you had to sign up with like your NHS number. So a number tied to your identity and you're in the government. And your full name and all of that. And every establishment that you went to, whether it was a tiny coffee shop, a cafe, a pub, a bar, whatever, they would have a little sign at the door that had a QR code on it. And you have to scan it with your phone to get in. And if they would have someone at the door throughout all of COVID at all of these establishments, like a bouncer, who makes sure that you are accounted for when you enter their establishment. And pretty much everyone that I knew just did this like no problem, you know? And I know that they had vaccine passports in New York and Chicago and major cities that were doing stuff like this. But it wasn't ubiquitous in the US the way that it was ubiquitous in the UK. Like this was pre-vaccine.
It typically
passports.
Wasn't digital. Yeah.
Yeah. You just show your thing. And so it's not as like tracked. It's not as panopticon-y. But anyway, yeah. So in the UK, like you literally, like even before the vaccine and throughout that whole thing, you have to scan this QR code. It knows exactly who you are. It knows exactly what establishments you're in, so on and so forth. And if you don't want to do it, so like there were times that, you know, I mean, I didn't want to do it. And so I would be like, oh, I forgot my phone or my phone's dead or like, you know, I'd make some excuse. They would have this little book at every establishment that was like, okay, then you need to write your full name and your phone number in here so we know. And the whole point was like, quote unquote, contact tracing. And like, I don't think that the individual establishments were at fault. Like, they're just like doing what the government said. Most of them probably think that they're doing it for the right reasons. Like, oh, we don't want our establishment to be the one that spread COVID or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm like, the government fucking knows that COVID is going to spread no matter what. Like, after a certain point, it was obvious that COVID was just running rampant no matter what, and no contact tracing mattered. But they still wanted to surveil the movements of every single person. And I think that that's really telling. And anyway, just to go back to what A was saying, like, I don't think that it worked. They were not able to establish this total control panopticon. And I guess some of us, you know, maybe we're bought too much into the fear-mongering of that. But I don't think that we were wrong in, like, the long-term conclusion of something like that being normalized. And it was normalized. Most people did just kind of do that without a second thought. Kind of the same way that, like, after the Patriot Act, after 9/11, surveillance ramped up in the U.S., and, you know, then, or even like with people being like, oh, well, you know, I'm getting targeted ads based on something I talked about that I never Googled. Is the government listening to my phone and then having people respond by being like, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care? Why do you care? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that the government is like surveilling you 24/7. And that is kind of a big deal. Like, I, you know, but the vast majority of people did not care. And I think that that goes back to the compliance test where they're like, okay, so it didn't work, quote unquote. They didn't get to establish a full-blown surveillance state. Maybe that was their goal. Maybe it wasn't. But they saw that they could do the beginnings of that, that people didn't question it. And maybe they can continue to... Yes, thank you. They can build on that for later. Well,
and I think what a lot of libs like missed, you know, during this whole thing and are still missing is that like social norms and like what people believe is right and wrong is like an ever shifting kind of wind. And they seem to have completely ignored the fact that like the people they think of as quote unquote their enemies are going to use these same tactics to do what they want when they want to, you know what I mean? Like text, for instance, I mean, like I don't really have a problem with this, but Texas said that abortions were not emergency medical care during COVID, for instance. And it's like, I never hear libs talk about that. You know what I mean? Like, I never hear them mention, like, you know, they were able to use these restrictions for, like, both parties were able to use these restrictions in ways that they wanted to.
No,
you know?
Absolutely. And like, I mean, I live in Texas now, as you know. And, like, that has been very interesting to me. The way that libs will be, like, hands off my medical care, hands off my body when it comes to abortion, but then have a completely different take, which is like, you know, like the government should not touch my body, but then it's like, oh, govern me harder, daddy, when it comes to COVID. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just not ideologically consistent. Either the government should have no say in your healthcare at all, or there should be authoritarian government control in your healthcare. But like, you can't just pick and choose based on your like ideological tribe of like what's okay for the government to control and what's not.
Well, and the system of control is in place for whoever wants to use it, which I think is what like a lot of people missed. You know what I mean? Like they can use it for all sorts of things, however they want now. And there's, you know, we all know here at Thoughts and Prayers, and I think both of you believe this, there's not really that big of a difference between the two parties in America anyway. But my point is that like this system that's in place can really be used to do anything, you know, to make you do anything.
The biomedical control shit, I think, is huge. Like they needed to use that as a justification to get people on board with this concept of the digital ID thing. Like, I think there's other things that they could try to use, but it's not as, you know, like climate change or something. No one is really like it's not as like as imminent a threat or whatever. It just doesn't work as well. But I wanted to also just make clear that personally, I do believe the vaccine was also a bioweapon. I think it wasn't designed to kill everybody. But I think you could, it's the same logic that applies to COVID, because I mean, I think it's pretty honestly at this point uncontroversial to say that COVID came from a lab. It's on a number of levels, but pretty much everyone seems to basically agree with that, or at least that it's plausible. But in my opinion, that's what happened. And they, in order to pull off a pandemic like this, they wouldn't want to release an extremely deadly virus, even though that would be like much more scarier. It's just much harder to control.
And it wouldn't spread as fast. Like, you know, if it kills people, then it doesn't spread.
Right, right. Because it would kill off all its hosts before it can spread. Or like, but even just as a pragmatic issue for like managing the scamdemic, if you have like 80% of the population drop dead, that would cause like utter chaos. And like, you know, like there's a risk that the power, like the government would just completely collapse, and the financial system and everything would all come
definitely down. 80%, all of that would happen.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
No, I'm in total agreement.
So like, and they had to release this virus that's basically just, it's no different than an average flu. It had some different qualities, but in terms of like its deadliness, it was roughly in line with.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that COVID was a bioweapon, but it was like a soft bioweapon. Like, it's like, yeah, they might've spliced some AIDS into it. Like, you know, like they probably did, but it was like, you know, a little bit, not a lot, like enough to not kill people, but maybe like hit their immune system a little bit. But I agree with you, because the COVID vaccine was based on the spike protein of COVID. The spike protein of COVID is like the worst part, and it can cross the blood-brain barrier and like all of these things. If you were going to create a vaccine that wasn't a bioweapon, like you wouldn't do it based on the spike protein. That was not done in any prior vaccine. And that kind of ties into why they redefined what a vaccine even is. But anyway, sorry, keep talking. I'm like derailing.
No. That was exactly like what I'm talking about. Like, so COVID, you know, it wasn't deadly. That gives them the complete control to control the narrative just by the media. So you can make it seem deadly by showing these videos of Chinese people dropping dead in the street, and then doing the ventilators in New York City and mm-hmm. showing the trucks overflowing with bodies and blah, blah, blah. Telling people hospitals aren't overflowing right now, but they could be overflowing soon if you don't stay home. All this type of shit make it seem very deadly. It wasn't. That was actually obvious as soon as like April 2020, people knew that, but the media was still pushing that it was very deadly.
I remember so anyway, in April 2020 or May 2020 even, like I was staying with my dad. So I had been living in like a city at the time, but I ended up moving back in with my dad just because I didn't want to be in the city and living with roommates during all this shit. So I moved back home like temporarily. And my dad, who's like, he's a lib, he's got Trump derangement syndrome and the whole nine yards. But even he, at the time in May 2020, was like, if COVID was really as deadly as they're saying, wouldn't we know people who died? And I'm like, yeah. Like, if this was really like the pandemic, quote unquote, that they're claiming that it is, like, we would know. Like, if it weren't for the 24/7 news cycle that we are subjected to, no one would even know that it was any different than a normal flu season.
No, it would have been nothing. Like, people would not. I to this day, I do not know a single person who died of COVID. A single person. I know multiple people who died during the pandemic, but not of COVID. Multiple people and young people. I know a 90-year-old woman who got COVID, had zero before the vaccine came out, had zero symptoms. And then died, you know, a year later, totally unrelated of anything COVID, you know, like a 90-year-old woman, zero symptoms. And then she dies a year later of some whatever random.
Probably old age.
Yeah.
I have some like, I guess I have a couple of like, I don't know if this counts, but I have a couple of like someone I know knew someone.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple
knew one person.
I have a couple of that too, like, but then it's like, okay, what were the mitigating factors there? Like, I doubt that it was just COVID.
how old were they? What,
you know, like, right, I met the girl in high school who died of the swine flu, but turned out she had like a bunch of other complications. You know, like it's probably the same
condition or something. Yeah, exactly.
People did. I mean, people did die of COVID, but if it's a bioweapon, that, you know, like that doesn't mean that the COVID has. You know what I mean? Like, no, I understand.
But Q, if you have a global pandemic
that shuts down all of society,
stayed in our houses for more than a year, okay, you should know somebody who died of that, okay?
Yes.
And many
you should personally know people. I agree. Yes. I mean, everyone I know who died, like, or I know more people who died during, honestly, including one close personal friend, I know more people who died during the pandemic in like weird, mysterious ways that seemingly had nothing to do with COVID, but you know, they all had gotten the vaccine.
Yes. So, I know people who I believe were vaccine.
I do too.
They were killed by the vaccine.
I do too. Yeah, I know people whose like hearts exploded after getting the vaccine. Like, I know that. And then in addition to that, not even talking about the vaccine. Yeah. Cancers too. I know people who've got like turbo cancer, like, you know, all of a sudden they have stage three cancer out of nowhere. But I also know plenty of people, not to derail from the vaccine talk, but just to talk about COVID more broadly. Like, I know plenty of people who've died from like overdoses and addiction because of the pandemic, because of the social ostracization and alienation that stemmed from the fact that it's like all of a sudden you can't have your support groups. You can't go to your meetings. You can't meet up with your friends. You can't go to work. Like, I know so many people who like became alcoholics or their addictions escalated.
I know one person who committed suicide. I know people who's, like you just mentioned, their drug and alcohol addictions got way worse. I know people whose mental health got way worse. Almost everyone I knew gained a significant amount of weight, which I'm sure took years off their lives because they were living these very sedentary lives. And then miraculously, I'm off it now, so I can criticize it again. The pharmaceutical companies come up with something called Ozempic, which is to help people lose all this massive amount of weight that they gained sitting around their houses. So yeah, I mean, I see all of that, you know?
Right. And that's what I'm saying too. Like, I'm not saying explicitly that like pharma was like in their lair being like, we're going to create the COVID vaccine and lock everyone down. And then we're going to give them Ozempic. Like, I don't know if it was like explicit like that, but I'm just saying like they are laughing their way to the bank. Like, they forced everyone to get this vaccine and they made a shit ton of money and everyone had to stay home and got fat. And now they're giving them Ozempic. Like, pharma is the winner in all of this for sure. And that, like, SSRIs, just all of it.
Yes. And then they come out with the article about how SSRIs are debunked now and they never did anything. They got everyone on this shit. It makes you, you know, whatever. I don't even need to get into it, but
yeah, that's a whole other episode.
And it's, to me, it's just, you know, at least if you are it's a personal thing for me. And that's why when people say, this is why it pisses me off and why I think it's important to talk about. Like, I said this on Basil's show, but like, I was not an online person really prior to 2021.
Neither was I. I didn't get on Twitter until March 2021. And it was because of all of this.
Yes. And same for me. It was a little later for me. It was like the end of 21 for me, but same basic idea. And that's why we started the podcast. And, you know, like, to me, it's not a joke. It's not something to be like, can't we just all chill out about this? Because it's going to come back in some way. And if you have actually paid attention to all of recent history, and you can see that the government blew up the Twin Towers and used it to start two wars and psyop everyone into fear, the scourge of Islamic terror and shit. And you see that the government did the Oklahoma City bombing, and you see that the government did all this stuff. And then you got to apply that to COVID too, which is the most transformative of any of these events, you know? So did, I don't know that.
Right. It was the biggest erosion of civil liberties that we have seen in our entire lifetimes. It was the biggest upward transfer of wealth that we've seen in our entire lifetimes. The largest authoritarianism that we've seen in the West in our lifetimes. And people just want to hand wave it off and say that it was nothing. Like, yeah, that's telling to me. But most people are afraid to see anything kind of conspiratorial, or it's easier for them to say, oh, you know, like say you're a conspiracy like leftist or a conspiracy theorist who is like not bought into the whole like, you know, COVID was bad, or like, you know, the COVID response was bad. They think COVID was bad, but they don't think the COVID response was bad. You know, they'll be like, the government lied to us every other time, but they're telling the truth right now, you know? And that's what gets me. Like, it's like, yeah historically, the government's lied.
Kennedy, they did Iran-Contra. They did, you know, all this
Patriot
shit.
Act.
Yeah, but COVID was all about.
Yeah, but now they're being honest. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, just extend it to its logical conclusion.
The thing that's sad for me, you know, and I was kind of late to the game of COVID skepticism. Like, I did, you know, I did get vaccinated, and it wasn't until I realized that, like, it wasn't going to stop even post-vax. And it still really hasn't even stopped now. I still see all these people in masks and shit. But the thing that's upsetting to me is, like, there's not going to be a reckoning. You know what I mean? Like, most people are never going to see it.
No. I really think that it's going to be one of those things that we don't get a reckoning until everyone involved is dead. Like, it's going to be one of those, like, in 70 years, maybe there will be some books written about how bad this was. But I don't think that in our lifetimes, there's going to be any reckoning. And the only thing that made me feel better in the heat of it, like in 2020 and 2021, especially 2021, where I was being socially ostracized for being an anti-vaxxer and so on and so forth, I was like, you know, all the people, and it wasn't that I was like trying to prove myself right. Like, it wasn't like I wanted to be like, I'm right and you're wrong. Really, what I wanted was like, I just want you people to like understand what I'm saying, because I'm actually trying to protect you. I want to help you. I don't want us, A, to live under like an authoritarian biomedical state, but B, like, I don't want you to have these side effects from taking an unnecessary medication. Like, please listen to me. And no one was listening to me. And I was like, you know, it's not like I wanted anything bad to happen, but I was like, if anything bad does happen, maybe it will wake them up and they'll realize. But it has now just kind of become evident to me that that's not going to happen. Like, no one's going to realize it until like everyone's dead, you know, of other causes. I'm not saying of COVID or the vaccine, but like, you know, like in 70 years, maybe people will talk about it, but I really don't see there any reckoning.
Well, and even then, like, drawing on your, you mentioned JFK, like, now it's safe-ish to talk about JFK being killed by the CIA or whatever, but it's still not like a reckoning. It's not like, you know, we've disbanded the CIA or something, you know,
right.
It's business as usual. It's just, you can kind of mention it now.
Yeah. People are like, oh, Nuremberg too. And I'm like, honey, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's getting close to Q's bedtime here, but.
Aww, Q. Yeah. You look a little sleepy.
Okay. I'm happy we did it. Happy to get back on the horse. It's a thoughts and prayers kind of, what would I call it? I'm like blanking on a word for it. An OG topic.
Yeah, a classic. And I mean, honestly, this topic, like, I feel like we've only scratched the surface. Like, we could go down so many rabbit holes, and it's really hard to go deep on this topic given, like, A, how long it's been, but B, how long the whole thing was. Like, I don't know, like, we've done a little bit of an overview today and it's been fun, but it's like, this thing has so many fucking rabbit holes. We could do like 10 episodes on it and still not get to the bottom, you know?
I think it's worth both Basil and A's and Pool House's episode and this episode just making the point that, like, people are going to keep trying to tell you it's cringe to talk about it. And if even one person decides from listening to these episodes that we're all doing to just to keep talking about it, I think it's worth it, because it's like, it's not cringe. It should, you should not listen to people telling you it's cringe to talk about something like this, because it's not. It's, you know, it's important.
The reality is there's going to be another thing. It's not going to be exactly a COVID 2.0, but there's going to be some other bullshit. And people will need to be prepared to, one, recognize it, because it's not going to look exactly the same. And two, be able to stand up to it and say no to whatever is the next thing, like the vaccine or whatever. And there will be this insane pressure campaign, I'm sure, again, you know.
And it's going to feel very real the way COVID did.
Yes.
Like when it happens. And that's what I think, if you're not preparing for it and girding yourself against it, you're going to feel swept up in it again, like the vast majority of people did. So,
100%. Like, I think that it's just super important to be aware of, like, how propaganda works at the end of the day. Like, most people are not aware of that. And now that we live in a 24/7 news cycle, it's like more relevant than ever. Like, back in the day, it was not like this. Now people literally have a computer in their pocket at all times. Everyone is constantly connected at all times. And it's, you know, like, the way that people were able to not fall for the COVID psyop, or at least wake up from it, even if they fell for it originally, like, takes a lot of mental fortitude and a lot of strength, because it was a lot easier, way easier, to just kind of go along to get along. So for anyone listening here, if you're listening this far, I assume that that includes you, you know, someone who has rejected that psyop, like, congratulations, like, you kind of withstood this test, and I hope that you can do it next time.
Me too. All right, thoughts and prayers. We, as always, are hoping you're walking in the light of truth. Does that make sense?
The
brightness of truth.
I hope you guys are enjoying the truth.
You heard it straight from the truth enjoyer.
From truth enjoyer, yeah. Good. Whenever you're listening, have a good day, night, morning, whatever. Bye, everyone.
Bye.